The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It has been said by more people than I that the virtuous can walk the straight and narrow path single file, but one can never sin alone. The evildoer is pursued to the ends of the earth by one voice, his conscience. This tale, adapted from the pen of Edith Wharton, reminds us with what hypnotic tongue the voice of conscience can speak.
Are you saying that for the past 200 years, the same ghost has been living in this house?
Oh, no, Mrs. Morgan. The house has changed hands many times. Many people have lived here. The ghost is always a different ghost.
Well, that's a new twist.
And the way I figured, Mr. Morgan, it's the people who bring a ghost with them. There's something about this house that always makes a ghost feel welcome.
Our mystery drama, The Man in the Black Cap, was adapted from an Edith Wharton classic, especially for the Mystery Theater by James Agett, Jr., and stars Paul Hecht. It is sponsored in part by ARM, Allergy Relief Medicine. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Richard III, a king and a murderer, as Shakespeare has drawn him, wrestles one night with his guilt. My conscience, he says, hath a thousand several tongues, and every tongue brings in several tales, and every tale condemns me as a villain. Our story of the power of conscience takes place today, yet the crime it discloses is as old as the first sin in the Garden of Eden.
I remember so well the day John and I went to look for a house. It was the first day of the fall, the New England trees marching up the road with their red gold banners of leaves, leading us right up the main coast to Eastport Harbor, a delicious little town with its bright white church and velvety village green. We sat in a tiny room of the only real estate agent in town.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Morgan, there ain't so many houses in your price range as there used to be. Folks are getting mighty smart about values these days. And for your top figure, I'm not so sure.
Mr. Higgins, suppose we up the ante to $60,000.
$60? Oh, John, do you think we should?
Would that give us a greater selection?
Oh, I don't know that it would. See, folks around here, they ain't so much wanting to sell.
Oh, but, Mr. Higgins, doesn't anyone die in this town? Out in Colorado, where we come from, the young people, they don't want to hang on to all the old homesteads when their parents pass on. They're looking for a new life. They can't sell fast enough and move to the city.
Well, around here, Mrs. Morgan, people don't die off so fast. And when they do, the young folks like to stay where they was born. Bring up their children here.
You mean there's nothing for sale in Eastport Harbor? Nothing at all?
Where are you folks staying?
We thought we'd try the inn.
That's a nice place. Good food. Tell you what, seeing as how you're both so determined, give me a day. I'll call you Wednesday morning at the inn and see what I can come up with. Well, what's the verdict? How do you like the house?
Well, I don't know, really. I have to think it over.
Now, I don't want to pressure you, but I got some folks coming up from Augusta tomorrow morning. And they're particularly interested in an honest-to-goodness Victorian house.
But you don't want to pressure us. In my line of business, Mr. Higgins, we wouldn't exactly call that a soft sell.
And what would your line be, Mr. Morgan?
I'm in the mining business, but I'm retired now.
A young fellow like you retired already?
John sold his mine. It was his idea to come east to live. Oh, John, it's a darling house. It's the kind I've always wanted.
I think we've been through every room.
Oh, and that fantastic little square deck on the roof. You can see for miles around. Whoever thought to put it up there?
Well, most of these old houses by the ocean have them. They're called a captain's walk, ma'am. 100 years ago, captain's wife could go up there to watch for her husband's ship to come in.
Oh, do you hear that, John? It's just the place to write.
Oh, I don't know. The kitchen needs a lot of work. That old icebox and the old coal stove.
That's going to be my department. I want the kitchen to stay old-fashioned, just the way it is.
You're not going to like hauling coal to cook with, I'll tell you that.
It takes a little getting used to.
Now, how far does the property extend? You said 25 acres?
Well, come here to the front door. I'll show you. Now, I'd say just about as far as the eye can see in all directions. To your right, to your left, straight ahead up the hill. And in back of the house, clear down to the ocean.
Oh, I love this garden. And the rambling roses on each side of the gate. I can't wait till spring.
Well, it's a nice location, I'll say that.
I'm going to put a lot of time into this garden, John, while you're writing your book. Oh, and that clock striking the hour.
It's been doing that for over 200 years, Mrs. Morgan. 12 o'clock.
Oh, so many pretty sounds. I think I know everything I have to know about this place, and it all makes me absolutely positive I want to live here.
Now, there's only one thing about the house I haven't told you folks.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing as how you're a modern kind of couple, I didn't think it very important.
Do you mean the fact that every room needs painting?
The ghost.
Oh, there's a ghost that lives here?
You were right, Mr. Higgins, not to bother us with fairy tales. It's high time people discarded such superstitions.
Oh, superstitious I'm not. I'm not the only real estate agent in Eastport Harbor. I'm also the only sheriff.
I didn't know that. You're the sheriff, too?
Well, meaning I look at happenings realistically, believe me. At one time, I'd have said the same as you about superstitions. But the ghost who comes around here is different.
Oh, how so?
I've seen it myself.
Are you a drinking man, Mr. Higgins?
Well, no more than I can handle. Why?
Well, I thought perhaps you tied one on the night you saw this ghost.
It wasn't night. I've seen it by day.
And have there always been ghosts here?
For 200 years, ma'am.
Always the same?
Oh, no, no. Always a different ghost.
Oh, well, that's a new twist.
The way I figure it, it's the people who live here who bring the ghosts with them. Something about this house makes ghosts feel welcome. Well, that's the only explanation I can give.
John, this is the house I want to live in. Put down my roots. And Eastport Harbor is the town I want to live in. Now, you arrange everything with Mr. Higgins. Those 2 months, until the cold weather set in, were the happiest of my life. I didn't miss Colorado one bit. I felt as though I belonged on this coast of Maine. John started his book on mining, but I knew he wasn't as much at home here as I was. He was restless. Sometimes he'd go a whole day without saying a word, or he'd take long walks all by himself. On the whole, everything was peaceful enough, though, until that telephone call. Hello?
Hello? Mrs. Morgan, Hester?
Who is this?
This is Hugh Bryant.
Mr. Bryant? Are you calling all the way from Colorado City?
Yes, I am. Is John there? Hello? Why, John, is that you? This is Hugh Bryant.
I'd better hang up in the hall extension, Mr. Bryant. I guess you and John want to talk. Bye.
Bye, Hester. Nice to talk to you. John, you still on the phone?
Yes, I am, Hugh. Hester, go on. You can hang up now.
Why did John cut me off like that? I stood by the telephone for a few minutes. Then, suddenly, this awful feeling came over me. The sulfurous smell of danger. I turned around quickly, and there was a shadow of a man on the frosted glass frame around the front door. Then he was gone. And then something compelled me to pick up the hall extension again and listen.
When did all this happen, Hugh? Early this morning. Where does that leave the lawsuit? Well, it still stands, I guess. Unless he dies of the gunshot wound. He's in a coma now. The nasty part is I thought I'd hushed up the whole lawsuit. But now it's going to be in all the papers. I've had 3 reporters here already with a lot of insinuating questions.
Oh, and what do they say?
Nothing very complimentary about you, John.
Yes. Well, keep me posted, will you, Hugh?
I'll send along a clipping or so. And if anything develops on the lawsuit, I'll let you know.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Hugh.
Come in, Hester.
You don't usually have the study door closed, John.
I disturb easily when I'm writing. I don't know what persuaded me I could write a book about copper mining.
You're an engineer and you owned a mine. What else do you need?
I suspect I need to know how to write. Just to put down my experiences. Well, it isn't coming out the way I thought it would.
Maybe you should do something else, John.
Well, that's just the trouble. We have a bank full of money from selling the Lucky Penny mine, but I don't know what I want to do with myself. 40 years old, and like Higgins said, a little young to be retired.
What did Hugh Bryant want?
Nothing really. Tying up some loose ends from the sale of the mine, that's all.
Really? Is that all?
Why do you say that? If I say that's all, that is all.
John, you never used that tone of voice to me before.
What did you come busting here for anyway? You know I'm working. Questions.
Well, if you must know, I came because I was frightened.
No?
There was someone at the door.
Well, I didn't hear the bell ring.
He just stood there, and suddenly he vanished. It scared me.
Oh, come on now. He probably came to the wrong house. He thought better of it and left.
I don't know. I'm still a little shook up. John, would you do me a favor?
Oh, sure, I will. Oh, Hester, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry I barked at you just now. What is it?
Would you come upstairs with me to the captain's walk?
Now?
Now.
Oh, sure. But why?
Well, I can't explain it. It's a beautiful view, and maybe a little change for you will help get rid of your cobwebs or whatever it is that's keeping you from concentrating.
It's a little nippy up here. You really can see for miles, huh?
Let's just stay up here until the sun sets, all right?
Okay, but it's turning chilly.
John, do you know what day it is?
Today. It's November the 1st, isn't it?
Is it anything else?
Saturday. Well, it is Saturday, isn't it?
Son, are you really happy in this house?
Oh, you're really full of questions today, aren't you? Hey, look down there. You see that big boat cutting across the channel?
Mm-hmm.
That's an old four-master. Must be a chartered schooner.
Look, you can change the subject all you want, John, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. It's this house, John. You're not the same John Morgan I married 10 years ago. Today.
Oh, so that's it. Ha ha, I've forgotten our anniversary. Oh, Hester, I am sorry.
We're not as close as we were, John. I know it, and you know it. John, it's not something to push under a rug. What is it that's troubling you?
Must be because I'm at a crossroads in my life or something. I'm not sure what I want to do. When I bought the Lucky Penny and ran it, I was sure that that would be my life. Then when I sold it, I thought, well, I'll come east and right, get away from the mining business.
John, look down there. That man opening our gate and walking up the path. Do you see him?
Yes, I see him.
John, that's the man who came to the front door. He's got the same kind of peaked cap on.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
John, where are you going? John, come back!
Who is this stranger who has turned up twice at the door? Is he real? An apparition? Surely not the ghost Mr. Higgins warned them about. Let's stop guessing, shall we? I suspect we'll know more when I return shortly with Act Two. Let me reset the scene for you. It is November. In a large old house right on the main coast dwell a husband and wife recently transplanted from the Midwest, where the husband has made what in commercial circles would be called a killing. Are we being overly suspicious if we wonder whether the killing was purely business?
John? Darling, where are you? Oh, you frightened me.
What's the matter with you, Hester? You open a door, I happen to be standing right behind it.
Well, what are you doing?
I just got up from my desk to find a book. What should I be doing? I'm trying to write.
What about that man?
What man?
5 minutes ago, you left me on the roof. I had to climb down that rickety ladder all by myself. Now, what about the man we saw coming in the gate? The man I'd seen before when you were on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Nothing. Nobody. I thought it was old Higgins, so I ran down to ask him about the deed. I haven't received a certified copy yet.
You thought the man we saw was Mr. Higgins?
Well, whoever it was, when I opened the door, was gone.
How could that be? I was looking right down from the captain's walk. I didn't see anyone go away.
I can't help what you saw or didn't see. He'd gone, I tell you, and no one was there.
I can't imagine why you thought it was Mr. Higgins. This was a much younger man.
Please stop plaguing me, Hester, and go away. Sometimes you can be very exasperating.
When John's in one of those moods, it's best to leave him alone. And those moods are becoming more and more frequent. His temper's getting shorter and shorter. Then, something caught my eye on the hallway floor. I bent down and picked up an empty shotgun shell. How did it get here? We don't have a gun in the house.
Why make such a fuss about an empty shotgun shell?
Look, since we've moved in, I've cleaned every inch of this house, and John, there wasn't any shotgun shell that could have escaped me.
Here, let me have it. Oh, now, will you look at it, honey? Who knows how long it's been lying around? Could have been kicked in the door by someone walking in. There are a thousand rational explanations.
Look, my dad and I used to go hunting in the lake country, and I fired hundreds of rounds of those things. If it was fired more than 2 days ago, I'll eat it.
Hester, look, why are you getting on my nerves like this?
Will you tell me why I am?
We'll be hurting each other soon, Hester, if we go on this way.
I agree. We're not used to being under each other's feet 24 hours a day. In Colorado, you were always at the mine or in town. I had my work, my life. Here, we're too much alone.
Well, I hope to heaven that's all it is.
So do I. That's why I've invited old Mr. Higgins to stop by this afternoon for tea or a drink. Maybe he'll be the breath of fresh air we need. Some more tea, Mr. Higgins? May I fill your cup?
Why, no thanks, Mrs. Morgan. I think I'd better be on my way before the fog drifts further inland. Mm. It's nice of you, too, to invite me over.
You know, whenever I hear that foghorn, I think of some captain's wife up on our roof, waiting for her husband's ship to come in.
It's just what they used to do, Mom.
Mr. Higgins, you remember the day we first came to see you last September? You said you had another party interested in buying this house?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think we could get our money back if we put the house on the market?
John.
You heard me, Hester. Put the house on the market.
Now, I'm sorry it doesn't suit you. It wouldn't be a little old ghost, would it?
Ghost? What ghost?
Well, maybe a new one showed up.
I thought you said the people who live here attract their own ghosts.
If this is a joke, you two, I'm not laughing.
Isn't that someone at the front door?
Yes, I'll go. And if you're not here when I get back, Mr. Higgins, remember what I said. Ask around. See what kind of money you can get for this place.
John.
I'll be back when I'm back.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset Mr. Morgan with that talk about a ghost. I didn't think he'd take it so hard.
I don't know what to make of him. Sell the house? He's never said that before.
You have many visitors.
Well, except for you, we don't know anybody yet in Eastport Harbor. I know what you're thinking. Who was at the door?
You're very perceptive.
Well, it's the second time today. This morning, the same thing happened. John just got up, walked out of the house, and never said a thing.
If you like, ma'am, maybe I could have a talk with him, man to man.
Maybe I'd be happy to talk to you, Mr. Higgins. Let's take a walk right now. Huh?
You're not going to go out like that, are you? It's very cold.
Mr. Higgins, shall we go?
Why, sure. Now's as good time as any. Mrs. Morgan, thanks again for the tea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Mrs. Higgins will want you both to come visit us. Okay, neighbor, let's be off before it gets so foggy we can't see our feet.
Oh, and take your red Christmas scarf, darling. You know how easily it catch cold.
Yes, 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 I will.
Oh, and you won't be long, will you? That foghorn's such a lonely sound. It gives me the woolies knowing you're out somewhere in it. It scares me.
Hester, darling, what are you talking about? We're going to stay here. You know we both love it. Fog or no fog.
It was all part of John's strangeness. His sudden turnabout from wanting to get rid of the house to saying he loved it here. I went into his study and had a long look. It got later and later, so I went up to the captain's walk to wait for him.
Esther! Esther, where are you?
I'm coming down, John. I was beginning to worry. I've had a stew ready since 6, and it's after 8. Tell Mr. Higgins to leave his coat in the hall if he wants to come in. I'll set another place.
Mr. Higgins isn't here.
Well, didn't he come up the road with you?
If you don't mind, Hester, I'll skip dinner. I'm not very hungry.
Not hungry after a 4-hour walk? Well, what is it?
It's nothing. It's nothing. I'm going to my study to
work. John! John, what's the trouble? I've got to know.
Would you mind, Hester, very much closing the door to my study on the outside? I have lots to do.
Like writing Elliot Harmon's name practically over every page?
What were you doing in here?
Did something go wrong with the lucky penny we sold Elliot? I want to know.
No, nothing, nothing.
I want to know, too, why you didn't bring Mr. Higgins back with you for dinner, since you and he were out together that long.
Higgins left me hours ago. I walked up the hill and he took the right fork back to town.
But I saw you. I was on the captain's walk waiting. A half an hour ago, you were walking this way with him.
You're mad. That wasn't me you saw. Probably two other people. In this fog, how could you tell?
Because one of the men was wearing your red scarf. It was you, John. I know it. You were talking to someone. Now, don't say anything, please. If you're hiding things from me, you probably have a good reason. The battle lines had been drawn. We were no longer two people joined by one marriage. He locked himself into a study, and for the next few hours, I was engulfed by a sense of dread. Finally, I went to bed and tried to go to sleep. Wide awake. There was something heavy in the air.
John Morgan, you cheating me?
What? Who's there?
John. John, what is it? Is it a nightmare?
An eye for an eye, John Morgan.
No, no.
Before I could stop him, John was out of the bed and running out of his room. I switched on the light. John? John, where are you? I ran about the house like a crazy person. I couldn't find him. I ran back to the bedroom, slipped on some dungarees and a shirt. And then it came to me. He'd gone up to the captain's walk. I climbed up the rickety ladder, opened the little trap door.
No, no, it's not true. I told you that 1,000 times. I said I'd fix everything, didn't I? Give me time. That's all I ask. Look, I never knew. Why do you keep coming after me? It wasn't my fault. I had nothing to do with it. You've got to believe me. No. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't hurt her. She knows nothing. Don't do it. Come back here. Come back. Come back.
John! Don't climb over the railing! John!
How is your husband this morning?
I can't believe it. He leads a charmed life.
Nothing broken after he fell off the roof?
Well, as I told you on the phone, I ran downstairs. He picked himself up. He didn't say a word. He just went to bed.
What was he doing on the roof in the middle of the night anyway?
I wish I could tell you, but it's so incredible. Nobody would believe me.
No one would ever believe what? Oh, good morning, Higgins. What brings you here?
Oh, Miss Morgan, I heard you had a little trouble last night. Fell or slipped or something. You wouldn't like to have someone look at you?
I know you mean to be neighborly, Higgins, but you understand I've got to get to my study and work. Bring me some coffee, will you, Hester?
I guess I'd better go.
Mr. Higgins, if I told you something, could you keep it to yourself?
Hester, I said coffee, please.
I'll go now, Mrs. Morgan. And if there's some way I can help, please phone me.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if anyone can. Here's your coffee, John.
Oh,
Thanks, sir. Just leave it on the table, huh?
Last night, when you were up there on the captain's walk, who were you talking to, John?
Hmm? What?
John, don't shut me out. Tell me, what's troubling you?
Hester, look, believe me, I can't, Hester. I want to, but I can't. It's been months of this waiting and just... Oh, what's that you've got in your hand, the mail?
One letter. It just came. So, you won't tell me.
Let me have it, will you?
Don't grab it out of my hand. It's addressed to both of us.
Thank you for the coffee, Hester. Thank you for the mail. Well,
aren't you going to open it?
Later, when I've had my coffee.
Oh, it's from Hugh Bryant in Colorado City, and I'd like to know what it says. Now, would you mind...
Now, what's that? I'll get to it. Would you give it back?
I'm opening this letter right now, and I'm reading
it. No, you're not.
John, would you get away
from... Will you come here?
Oh!
I'll hit you much harder the next time you don't do as I say.
Often a man loses so much control that he attacks his wife. I can hear you say once is too often, and I agree. Have we here a man so plagued by guilt, so pursued by the echo of conscience, that he is driven to acts he would never condone in others? I think we shall discover the answers when I return shortly with Act Three. It takes love, courage, and restraint to withstand a slap in the face from your own husband. Hester Morgan possesses all three. But I think you'll agree that there's more to this than moods and acts bordering on the irrational. Obviously, a good and quiet conscience, a peace above all earthly dignities, as Shakespeare has defined it, is not John Morgan's frame of mind.
All right, open the letter. Go on.
I will. Oh, there isn't a letter. Just this. A newspaper clipping. Oh, what is it?
Well, how should I know? Read it.
Lucky penny fraud. John, did you know about this? Well, what does it mean? Is it a lawsuit?
I don't know. It's nothing. Nothing.
Mr. Bryant sent it to us. Look, it's cut out from the Colorado City Times. Is it true what it says? Elliot Harmon is suing us for defrauding him in the sale of the lucky penny.
Oh, it doesn't mean a thing. He bought the mine as is. He had tests made. It was no pig in the poke.
But why is he suing us, then? What for?
He is suing the wrong party. Who knew the government would suddenly step in and stop all strip mining?
Well, huh? Is that what happened?
He took his chances like all of us do. Who knew such a thing would happen? So he sues me. Anyway, that's all past.
Past?
Well, look at the date on the clipping. It was months ago. In fact, the day we left Colorado. It's all over, anyway.
You mean he lost the case?
No. It never came up in court.
Was it true, John? Did you cheat him? Was it a fraud? I've got to know.
He withdrew the case, I told you.
But I want to know why.
He had an accident, that's why.
How do you know?
Because you phoned me from Colorado and told me.
What kind of an accident?
He shot himself.
Oh, no. His poor wife. I wish I'd known him. Oh, no.
Why are you going on like this? It's nothing to do with us.
I remember his wife, Sarah. She was such a lovely girl. Well, when did he die?
He's not dead. At least not so far as I know.
I can't believe anything you say. I'm going to telephone Mr. Bryant myself and find out.
You'll do no such thing.
Oh, yes, I will. The lucky penny was in both our names. I want to know what happened to that poor man.
Put that phone down. I'm warning you, Hester, don't force me.
Never mind, operator. I won't be making that call. Winter came and went. I wrote some poetry and cried to myself. Spring poked up its crocuses and the trees their buds. John and I remained apart. I never called Hugh Bryant. What was the point in hammering another nail into the coffin of our marriage? And then, one morning, I was on my knees in the garden, putting in some glads and dahlias. It was noon.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, I didn't see you coming in the gate.
I'd like to see Mr. Morgan.
My husband?
I suppose so. I haven't had the pleasure.
I'm Mrs. Morgan.
Look, I'm afraid, if you don't mind, you'll have to come back after 4 o'clock. You see, my husband has a strict schedule. He works every day at his book. He won't see anyone until 4.
I think he's expecting me.
That could be. He doesn't always tell me everything. Haven't you been to see him before? I get the feeling somehow that... Oh, pay no attention to me. Sometimes I think I know people from somewhere, and it's just my imagination. So, he's expecting you.
I'm sure of it.
You've come from pretty far, haven't you?
Pretty far?
No one wears a cap like that. Oh, forgive me, I didn't mean to be rude.
May I see Mr. Morgan?
Well, I'm sure he won't mind, even though it's just 12. The front door's open. He's right at the back. The last room's his study. I'd show you the way, but I must get these bulbs in now that the weather's turned.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Morgan.
Those were the last words I ever heard our visitor say. That strange man wearing a black cap which shaded his eyes so much I never saw them. I went round the back to fetch the last of the gladiola bulbs. It was 1 o'clock when I went into the house. John wasn't there.
Hello?
Hello? Mr. Higgins?
Oh, Mrs. Morgan. I got your message when I got home. My wife said you'd called. Sorry I didn't get back to you before. We're just finishing dinner.
Mr. Higgins, have you seen John?
Why, is something the matter?
I don't know. He's been gone all day, and I wondered if you'd seen him in town or anything.
Well, I wasn't in Eastport Harbor today. Tell you what, if Mr. Morgan doesn't get back by, say, 11 or 12 tonight, you call me.
May I?
And if I don't hear from you, I'll know he's home, safe and sound. Hello? Yes?
Mr. Higgins, it's midnight, and John isn't back yet.
Okay, Mrs. Morgan. You just sit tight. I'll be right over. Now, first thing in the morning, Mrs. Morgan, I'll get a parcel of volunteers together, and we'll search the whole area. But you're sure, ma'am, he didn't leave some message for you?
I looked everywhere, in his study, on his desk. It was just like he got up and walked out the door.
And when was the last time you saw him, Mrs. Morgan?
Oh, about breakfast time. I brought him some coffee.
Not anywhere since, going out the door or up the hill?
No. The man who came to see him, he must have.
Oh, what man?
A young man. He said John was expecting him. So I sent him along inside, and I went about putting in my flowers. Then, about 1 o'clock, I went in to make lunch, and John was gone.
Uh-huh. And his visitor?
They were both gone.
Would you remember what he looked like, the young man?
Oh, I think so.
Wasn't anything funny about him? I mean, he was real flesh and blood, as they say.
Well, it never occurred to me that he was a... Oh... Oh, that's not possible, is it, Mr. Higgins? Not real?
Well, I hope not. I guess not.
And then there's this telegram that came for John yesterday from Mr. Bryant, a lawyer in Colorado City. Here, I'll read it to you. Need you personally to sign documents relating to Lucky Penny. Bryant.
Lucky Penny?
It should be called Unlucky Penny. It's been nothing but bad luck to everyone who's picked it up. Hello, Mr. Bryant.
Why, Hester, I should say welcome back to Colorado City. But what I am going to say is, don't you people believe in answering telegrams? Now, 3 weeks ago, I needed to file these papers. I telephone you, no one's at home, and... Well, anyways, I'm glad to see you. Where's John?
Mr. Bryant, I came alone.
Oh, no, that's awkward. Is he in town with you?
No.
Well, it's John I ought to have to sign these papers. I guess you can. Where is he?
That's just it. I don't know. He's disappeared.
He what?
Yes. Yes, he's gone. 3 weeks ago. They can't find him. Nobody knows anything. They've gone through the woods with dogs. They had helicopters everywhere. He's
He's gone.
Oh, that sure is distressing news. But you mustn't give up hope, Hester.
I don't know what to think anymore, but I have to do something.
Well, to get to business, huh? I don't know whether you know it, Hester, but after Elliot Harmon bought the Lucky Penny, he brought a lawsuit against John.
Oh, yes, John told me.
Well, of course, we take the opposite view. Harmon sued on the grounds that John had misrepresented the mine's ability to continue to function. Of course, that was patently nonsense. No one could know the government would suddenly close down all strip mining. Well, at any rate, Elliot Harmon became despondent and shot himself.
Oh.
The bullet lodged in him. It took months before he finally died.
When was that?
3 weeks ago today, as a matter of fact.
At what time?
Well, that's a funny question, Hester.
No, Mr. Bryant, I've got to know.
2 o'clock, our time.
Well, what would that be in Maine?
By, noon. 12 noon.
I knew it. I felt it all along. Lord in heaven.
You knew what, Hester?
John isn't missing. He's dead. They killed him. He's been murdered. Don't you see? Elliot Harmon dies. Within an hour, John disappears.
Are you saying that someone actually killed John as a revenge for Elliot Harmon?
Yes, I am.
But how could there be any connection? We're thousands of miles apart.
Couldn't someone in Colorado City have telephoned to Eastport Harbor to go out and get John?
Well, that's awfully far-fetched.
We sold the Lucky Penny for a good price, right? Now, if Elliot and Sarah Harmon felt they were cheated, so did all those other people who put up their money. At 12 o'clock, see, I remember hearing our church bell ringing the time. At 12, a young man came to our gate and asked to see John. I sent him inside. I never saw him or my husband again.
Well, now, this young man, could you describe him? You remember him?
I told the police everything I knew. The only distinguishing thing about him was he wore a black cap.
Did you see a black cap?
Yes. I never saw his eyes. They were like deep hollows, all shaded by that cap.
Well, that's hard to believe.
What is?
Oh, excuse me. Hello? Oh, hello, Chief Foster. I was going to call you. Yes, I have Mrs. Morgan with me. Hester Morgan, you remember her? She came up from the East on business. It seems there's quite a mystery about John Morgan. He disappeared 3 weeks ago. What? Well, you don't mean it. Well, that's a terrible thing. Yes, yeah, certainly I'll ask her, and if she agrees, we'll be right along. Thanks, Chief. It seems that John isn't the only one who disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Harmon visited her cemetery yesterday, first time in weeks. Her husband's grave had been dug up. His body is gone.
Oh, no.
They think they have a clue over at the Lucky Penny, and I told the chief you were here. I have to go. But if you want to, you can come along, Hester.
It'll seem strange to go there now. But why not? When we arrived at the Lucky Penny, they dug an experimental shaft to locate new deposits. A crowd of rescue workers stood around it. They'd found something at the bottom. Finally, they brought up two bodies. One was John's. John, my husband. The other, they said, was Elliot Harmon. He had a black cap on his head. I recognized him as the young man who had come to see John 3 weeks ago.
Is it beyond our comprehension to grasp what we have just enacted? That a man on the edge of death could haunt the one responsible until death itself does arrive and claims them both? We know so little of the world beyond. Isn't it possible that our flights of fancy could be on the wings of truth? I shall return shortly
Now a word for working stiffs.
If you keep your noses to the grindstone, your nose is gonna be a mess. Ooh.
So stick your nose into your TV set.
And have a laugh on CBS. Hello, neighbor, we're in labor. Whoops, we meant to say we're working stiffs. But when we take a job, we mess it up. More laughs than you can shake a slapstick at when we CBS it up.
Watch Working Stiffs clean up this fall on CBS television.
At the store, they told me there's a powerful anti-itch drug I can buy without a doctor's prescription. Now, I use Bicozine cream as directed. No more burning, embarrassing itching. No more scratching. Bicozine actually speeds healing. Bicozine cream. What a relief.
For constipation, remember X-Lax pills, the overnight wonder. X-Lax pills, the overnight wonder. X-Lax pills, for occasional use only as directed.
I'm Susan Anton. It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper device. Pillow Soft is the ultimate in sleep. Unique exquisite cushioning for heavenly comfort on top. Ultra firm support inside. Perfect sleeper Pillow Soft. Firmness that feels good.
Be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper. Buy.
Showing your clout, rip it right out. Showing your clout, showing your master
charm. I love to shop.
I'm a woman.
I love to travel. I work.
I always need something.
A new wardrobe.
Leather luggage.
A gift for him.
A gift for me.
What do you do?
Show him your clout.
Hey, we're in charge with Master Charge.
When you carry Master Charge, you carry clout, show me clout.
Consider the phrase, mind over matter. Is it a rule to live by? Can it remove one man from his writing table and another from his grave? Mind over matter. We find the precept, but not the proof, in Shakespeare, the Good Book, the Koran, and spoken by hundreds of poets, so it could very well be a fact. And may I add that if our mystery drama has told us anything today, it is also that reward and revenge are not that far apart. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Carol Tytel, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
To have you with us. Settle down and be comfortable. Lend us not only your ears, but your deepest concentration while we tell you a strange and macabre story. Where do you live? Peoria? Salt Lake City? Buffalo? Memphis? Where? Springfield? Manchester? Spokane? Hackensack? No. No, you don't live in any of those places. Or in any other place that has a name. You live, each one of you, night and day, year after year, in the nameless, hidden places of your own mind.
Mr. Z, whoever dreamed up the Black Room anyway?
I have no idea.
Somebody must have.
There's always been a Black Room, Mr. K, far as I know.
Hell of a place.
Yes.
How long do you think he'll last?
Matter of days. Weeks, possibly.
Then what?
He'll go mad. Or die.
Our mystery drama, The Black Room, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Eric and stars Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There is a fresh new spirit sweeping the land. A free spirit that demands good products. Products that satisfy your sense of good taste and desire for economy. But above all, products that perform. Buick has been touched by this spirit. And this year, our crisply designed, solidly built Buicks will bring joy even to the most demanding of free spirits. The 1975 Buicks, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Hi, this is Pearl Bailey. Today, I'm not going to try and entertain you. Instead, I'm going to put before you the distressing story of the needy children of the world. They need your help. The bright side is that you can give them all of this by working with Save the Children Federation. Together, you can forge a better world, one in which children can have hope instead of despair. To find out how, you write today to Save the Children Federation, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York, New York, 10017. Please help these children.
All over Monroe County, we're faced with the difficult problems of today. If we're going to solve them, we'll all have to get involved.
We need leadership more than ever before, but we can't do it without you. So if we all get together, we can put it all together. So let's all join together and vote with us.
This message has been brought to you by a lot of Monroe County Republican people.
10 minutes. It isn't a lot of time, but it can be forever. 10 minutes is all it takes for a child to suffocate inside an unused refrigerator. Don't let this tragedy happen. If there's an unused refrigerator where children play, do one of these things. Seal the door shut, block it open, or remove it completely. Entrapment is not child's play, but a matter of life and death.
Somewhere, in some unspecified place, are three men. Three men of no particular distinction and no particular importance except to themselves. Yet the urgency of their speech and the intensity of their attitudes would make you think that something of the gravest consequence is taking place. And for all that I know, it is. Listen now to the story of the Black Room.
Why me? Why me? Of all people, I'm a very ordinary guy. I have a wife, I have a home, I have a job, I drink a little, I go bowling, I have some money, I'm just like everybody else, so why me?
We didn't take you because we thought you unusual.
Well, then for God's sake, why?
We need information.
I haven't got any information.
We think you have.
Information about what? Look, if I have it, I'll give it to you. I'll tell you anything you want to know.
You mean that?
What do you want to know?
Why did you do it?
Do what?
You know.
I don't know. Do what?
He's not going to tell us.
What am I supposed to know? How could a man like me know anything?
Look me in the eye. Step up here. Closer. Look me straight in the eye. Now. Why did you do it?
I didn't do anything.
Come on now. He'll never tell you.
What am I supposed to have done?
He's hopeless.
You guys, I never saw you before in my life. Who the hell are you, anyway?
I'm the man in charge here.
And who's he?
My deputy.
Well, who gave you the right to bust into my house, drag me down here, and start asking me questions? Well, who gave you the right to do that?
It's not a question of right.
Well, it damn well should be.
But it isn't.
Can I make a phone call? I can make a phone call, can I?
I'm afraid not.
Well, everybody's allowed to make a phone call. That's what I always heard. I want to call my wife, my lawyer, somebody.
Out of the question. We have no phone.
You... I never heard of a place that had no phone.
Now you have.
But you just can't keep me here. It's not right.
What's your idea of what's right? We'd really like to know.
Well, I can't tell you offhand like that. I don't know exactly.
Quite so. Neither do we. Mr. Kay, I think it's time for the Black Room.
Right. Come with me, please.
Come with you where? No, I'm not going anywhere with you.
Come on, come on.
I don't have
yes,
to
you
go.
Yes, you do. Come on.
Do I have to?
Yes, you do.
Right this way.
I don't understand any of this. What is this place you're taking me to? What did he call it?
The Black Room.
Why do you call it that?
Because it's black.
Why, painted black, black walls, black furnishings, what?
Well, there aren't any furnishings, it's just a room. And it's black.
You're putting me in solitary.
You'll be alone. There we are. Step in, please.
Well, I can't see a thing, nothing. It's black.
That's why it's called the Black Room.
Well, switch on a light.
There is no light. Once I close this door, there'll be no light of any kind.
Now, you can't do this. Get out of my way.
Now,
help! Somebody help!
Don't make such a fuss. Cut it out. I'm going to close this door.
Are you there? Are we both in here? Well, say something. Are you here?
You haven't any matches on you by any chance? Or a lighter?
No.
Once I go out that door, you'll be in total darkness and total silence. No light, no noise, no sound of any kind. Only what you make yourself.
I don't see why.
You'll be fed once a day, never at the same time.
How will I know when?
It'll be either before you get hungry or after you've stopped being hungry.
You'll bring it to me?
You'll find it somewhere on the floor.
Well, how will I find it if I can't see it?
You'll feel around till you come to it. There'll be bread and water, and once in a while, if I'm in the mood, some cheese or a piece of fruit. Okay. Got it?
Will you tell the warden something for me?
The who? The warden?
Well, whoever he is. The keeper.
Keeper?
Well, you know who I mean. The man in charge.
That's Mr. Z. The end of the line. Tell him what?
Tell him that I...
That you what?
I've forgotten.
Well, it's a good beginning. Keep it up.
Oh, wait a second, wait.
What now?
Let me look at the light.
Look at it. Okay. That's all.
Not to be frightened. Only thing to fear. Fear itself. Yes. Why am I whispering? I should be shouting. What's that? I hear something. I hear. What is that? It's my heart. It's my heart beating. I'm hearing my own heart. The only thing I can hear is my own heart. My shh, 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 shh. Quiet, quiet. Quiet down. Quiet, quiet. That's better. Yes. That's better. Much better. Better.
How did it go?
Pretty routine.
Good.
He fussed a little.
Oh?
I found it necessary to step inside with him for a few seconds.
No trouble, though.
He went numb pretty fast.
I thought he would.
He wanted me to give you a message, but then he couldn't remember what it was. And he thinks you're some kind of a warden.
A warden?
Or a keeper.
Poor man.
You know, Mr. Z, I didn't much like it inside that room.
You knew you were coming out.
Who ever dreamed up the Black Room anyway?
I've no idea.
Somebody must have.
There's always been a Black Room, far as I know.
Hell of a place.
Yes.
How long will he last, do you think?
Matter of days. Weeks, possibly.
Then what?
He'll go mad. Or die.
Wonder what he's doing now.
Oh, counting by twos, then by threes, then by fours. Anything to keep from thinking. That's what they all do.
Remember things.
beautiful things. Remember, the ocean, the sand, the sounds of the sea, the waves, winds, running on the beach. Oh, God, I'm crying. These are my tears. Now, come on, now, let's not have any of that, none of that. Now, just remember other things. The house, no. Not the house. I'm not ready to think about the house. School. Oh, yes, school. Matthew Arnold, English poet, 1822 to 1888. Yeah, something like that anyway. Is it so small a thing to have enjoyed the sun, to have lived light in the spring, to have lived, to have thought, to have done? I don't know the rest. Oh, sleep. I want to sleep. No, I'm afraid to sleep. Will I ever sleep? What? What's that? I heard something. Yes, I hear that something. Shh, shh, shh. Quiet, quiet. Shh, shh, shh. Ah. Oh,
Doc! It's a rat. They've let a rat in here. I'm shut up with a rat. Where is that? Where is that rat? I'll kill it. I'll kill it with my bare hands. Where is it? Where is that? Where? Can't hear it anymore. Where is that? Rat, where is it? Hiding. What'll it do?
No,
that's enough of that. Just lie down on the floor. Stretch out. Just let go. What'll happen will happen. Just let it happen. That's the best way. Don't fight. Don't struggle. Just lie quiet. Empty your mind. Yes. It doesn't matter if my eyes are open or closed. Isn't that funny? They're not really funny. When I go to sleep, will my eyes close or will they stay open? Yes, I can feel my eyelids raise themselves up. Now I feel them come down. But everything's the same. Black, just...
It ran over my hand. The rat ran across my hand. Where is it now? I don't hear it. Did I imagine that? Did I ever hear it? Did I really feel it? There. I hear it. I hear it again. Now, why would they do that? Why would they put me in a black room with a rat? They must be devils. Where is that rat now? Shh. Will it make a noise?
Again. Ran across my hand again. And wait. Just hold on now. Hold on. It's not so bad. The rat didn't bite you, did he? No. No, he simply ran across the back of your hand. That's all. You're not hurt. You're perfectly all right. Perfect. Oh, you don't sound like such a big rat. Oh, you sound like kind of a very small rat. Oh, you could be a mouse. Sure. A very small little mouse. Why not? Now, if I should just lie here quietly with my arms spread out like this, would you run across my hand again, would you? Huh? Hey, you see, I'm calmer now, much more relaxed. I'm waiting. Ah, there you are. Oh, and my fingers. Oh, such light little feet, so delicate. Oh, I think you must be no more than 2 inches long. How are you, my friend? Huh? How is my mouse chum? My pal, Mr. Mouse. How's everything with you, okay? Good. Me? Oh, I'm managing. So far, so good. Yeah. You know, I think I can hold out for a while. Anyway, at least I'm not alone. Not altogether alone. Not quite.
The great horror is the fear of being alone. Man will do anything, suffer anything to avoid it, and to postpone that crucial moment when, no matter what he does or what he suffers, he must face his own essential aloneness, the very last moment of his life. We'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau.
I'm Inspector Pry, Miss...
Violet, Inspector. Miss Violet.
According to the report, you say someone is hiding in your house.
Oh, I'm sure of it, Inspector. I've found things. Sweaters, blouses like mine, but they're not mine. They're much too small for me and all faded and torn.
I'll help you, Miss Violet.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Those are your clothes, Violet, and you aren't taking very good care of them. Before you buy your clothes, understand what's on the label. For example, if you buy a garment which is labeled pre-shrunk, make sure you understand the cleaning instructions on the label before you wash.
And I thought, oh, from now on I'll read the labels before I buy.
No more shrinking, Violet.
Just another helpful tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
The simple man we have chosen to be our hero is confined in the black room, a bare place without light or sound. But by chance or fate or the mercy of God, he has found a companion, a mouse no bigger than his thumb. This tiny creature has become his sole defense against the terrors of being alone.
Sit here on my hand. And let me stroke your head, Mr. Mouse. There. You like that? Tell me you do. Somehow let me know that you do. You don't know how much it would mean to me to know that I was giving pleasure to someone. That's one of the chief horrors of being cut off from everything and everyone. There's no one to serve, to help, to amuse. Yes, that sounds strange, I suppose, but I never knew till now how important it is to bring pleasure and comfort and amusement into other lives. Will I ever laugh again? That's too much to expect. Yes, I know that. I don't mind crying anymore. I cry a lot. I don't care. When I weep at the hopelessness of it all, I feel somehow it's not quite so hopeless. Now, why is that? Do you know, Mr. Mouse? Mice don't cry? Is that what you're saying? Mice take life as it comes. Yes, but men can't do that. Men rebel and struggle and suffer. Oh, yes. Yes, how they suffer. Oh, are you agreeing with me? Or are you telling me you're hungry? You know what I have for you this time? Some cheese. Yes. They left me a piece of cheese this time. I ate most of it, but there are some crumbs. And they're in the breast pocket of my shirt. Now, if you just get into my pocket, way down at the bottom. You're easy, easy now. Don't be frightened. Now, you know I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, my little friend. There. Head first. Down you go. Ah, yes, you found them. You found the crumbs of cheese. You're eating, and I'm almost laughing. Not quite, but almost. I'm almost laughing because you're so pleased.
I gave him a piece of cheese this time.
What for?
Oh, I don't know. Just to give him a little hope, I guess.
Well, if you want to drag it out.
Bread and water get so monotonous.
I imagine the last thing in the world that concerns him is monotony.
Well, it gets monotonous for me, too.
You say he's eating well.
So far, every crumb.
That won't last.
I suppose not.
Not if he's like the others, it won't. A few more days, then.
Now stay out of my way, Mr. Mouse. Don't get hurt. I'm just looking for our food. Well, maybe he hasn't left it yet. You know, there hasn't been any cheese for a long time. Now, I can't count the days anymore, but it's been a long time. Oh, I found it. What is this? What? Why, it's an apple. Imagine an apple. Say, I wonder, is it red or green or yellow? Perhaps I could tell by the taste. Macintosh. Or have I forgotten the taste of apples? I used to know it so well. You want some, do you? Now, wait till I bite off a piece for you. And you know where it is. Come on now. You know. The pocket. It's in the pocket. That's it. Now I can feel you move against my chest. I think I have never felt anything so comforting. Now, how did I get here? How did I come to be living in a soundless, lightless room with a friendly mouse? That's almost laughable, but I've forgotten how to laugh. But think about it. How did I arrive at this place, these circumstances? For that matter, how did I arrive at any of the places, any of the circumstances of my life? I planned, yes. Yes, I made plans. But they never seemed to work out precisely as I planned them. The marriage. It looked all right, but it wasn't quite what I meant. The job. Yes, the job seemed to be a good job, but it wasn't quite what I'd expected. The house. It was a good house. A nice house. But not quite. Oh, are you coming out of my pocket now, Mr. Mouse? You had enough? Huh? Hey, what are you doing? Are you trying to get inside my shirt? What for? What do you want? Oh, I know. To be close to me is that... Ow! Hey, what was that? What did you do? You know, I felt something... Oh, there it is again. Hey, I think you're pulling out the hairs on my chest. Is that what you're doing, Mr. Mouse? Ah, yes, you are. Now, why? Why would you do that? Not to hurt me. I know you would never hurt me. Are you playing? Are you making up a game trying to divert me from the awfulness? Yes, you're telling me it could be worse. There are things we can do. There is always something. It is never absolutely hopeless. Oh, little mouse, you're trying to make me laugh.
I gave him an apple today.
If you want to play the game that way, I can't stop you.
He ate every bit of it. There wasn't a thing left on the plate. No core, nothing.
I wonder how he manages to keep up his appetite.
Maybe he exercises.
After this long, they lose interest.
Yes. After all, what's the point?
Hope can't last forever. It's got to die, sooner or later.
Well, with this one, it looks as if it's going to be later.
Yes, but eventually.
What makes him hang on?
I wish I knew. I'd give anything to know.
It's darn near 2 weeks.
2 weeks tomorrow.
Should I go in after him?
No. No, wait a while longer. He can't last.
You're sure about that?
No one ever has.
It's only breadcrumbs today. Sorry, Mr. Mars. Hey, where are you? Mars? Mars, I have breadcrumbs for you in my pocket. Now, where are you? Are you here? Why don't you come when I call you? Now, there's no place to go in this blackness. I can't look for you. I might hurt you. Now, why don't you come when I call you? I have food for... Oh, what a fool I am. You've gone out of the black room. You've escaped. But where? How? There must be a place. Yes, you haven't always lived in this room. You came in at some point, and now you've gone out. But where? How? There must be a place, a little place, a tiny hole. Yes, a tiny hole big enough for a mouse to get through. Now, where? Where? You don't live here all the time. The black room isn't your only home. I mean, not your permanent home. You wouldn't pick a place like this. No mouse would do that. Nobody would do that. No, you came here from somewhere else. There must be a hole someplace. And you came through that hole, and you've gone out through that hole, and I'm going to find it. What's this? Is this it? Oh, that's so tiny. That's so tiny. Is that a hole? A hole just big enough for a mouse to slip through? Yes, I think it is. Then on the other side, there must be something. The blasted hole is right next to the floor. It's no bigger than my thumb. I can't get my face up to it. Yes, I can. I see a light. I see light. A very little light. Oh, thank you. Thank whatever, whoever you are for this little bit of light. What's happening? What's happened to the light? There's still a little, but there's something gray, something milky gray. What? It's my mouse. He's on the other side of the hole. I'm looking into the small gray eye of my friend. Oh, Lord, it's too much. Who could think of such a thing? Who could think that I would be straining at a mouse hole, bent almost double, to look into the eyes of my friend, the mouse? It's too much. It's too much. I can't comprehend. What is there to do? What is there to do but laugh?
He's off his feet. Hardly ate anything the last few days.
So, it's starting.
What's starting?
The decline. I knew it would, sooner or later.
Think I'll give him some fruit next time.
I really don't know why you want to bother.
Maybe some cheese, too.
Suit yourself.
Look, the idea was never to starve the poor fool. If that was the idea, I wouldn't give him anything at all.
He's beginning to starve himself.
Can he do that?
It's simple. Stay away from food and water. You'll be gone in a few days.
No kidding.
Animals know that.
Well, I never knew it.
There's lots of things animals know that men don't know. Especially you.
If I could cry. But there's a place beyond crying. Yes, there's a despair too deep for crying. Here, in the dark and the silence, there's nobody. Not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. I can't laugh either. I think my life is closing. What? Oh, you're back. You're back, are you? You're in the pocket of my shirt. Well, I have some cheese and part of a pear. You'll have to come to me if you want it. No, I can't look for you again. I just don't care anymore. I just don't care. I don't care anymore.
We all know it, but nobody says it. The drama of life is not in battles or elections or crimes or even in love affairs. The drama of life takes place in the dark, silent soul of every man or woman who has had the luck or the misfortune to live. We'll be back shortly with Act Three.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then, open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
From 17 to 25, young minds are so alive. They see things that others may not see. College is the place they learn the things they'll need when it's their turn to show the way to you and me.
College is a place where the future of America is being built right now. But colleges are in financial trouble, and they need all the help that you and I can give them. The dollars you give to the college of your choice are an investment in America's most important asset, the minds of her children. So please, give to the college of your choice now. From 17 to 25, young minds are so alive. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
I just don't care anymore. These words were spoken by our nameless protagonist a few minutes ago, and I suppose they are the saddest words anyone can utter. I just don't care anymore. The struggle is over. Life is over when we just don't care anymore.
He hasn't eaten anything for 2 days.
Oh?
Last thing he ate was that pear. That was 2 days ago.
He's starting down the slide.
You sound as if you enjoy this.
I don't.
I think it's terrible, really terrible.
It's necessary.
I don't see why. I swear I don't.
We need the information, don't we?
But do we absolutely have to have it? I don't see why.
It's the most important information in the world.
I just think maybe it's not worth all this.
It's worth all this and more.
I don't know why.
Look, you're a good fellow. And you're not the stupidest man in the world, or you wouldn't be my deputy. But there are certain things that are, let's say, beyond your comprehension. You agree?
I guess so.
You guess so?
I'm sure. I'm sure there are certain things that are beyond my comprehension.
Just the same...
Yes? What were you going to say?
How do I know they're not beyond your comprehension, too?
I hear you. Oh, I hear you, but I don't care. Even if I did care, I'm not sure I'm strong enough anymore to go looking for you. Now, there must be food all over the room. Why don't you go look for it? I'm sure the faithful Mr. K has been leaving it, and I haven't eaten any for a long time. So, stir yourself and go look for it. Huh? You want me to bring it to you? Well, that's rough. Those days are over, my friend. I loved you. Do you know that? I really did. I thought you loved me in your own little mousy way, but you didn't. I was just somebody to feed you. That's all. Well, our friendship has come to an end. Mr. Mouse, has all things come to an end.
He isn't drinking any water either.
That's too bad.
You feeling sorry for him by any chance?
Now, don't start up with me, Kay.
It's not like you to go soft.
I'm not going soft. It's just that...
Yes? What?
I don't know why exactly, but I had such high hopes for him. That he'd be different somehow. I really had very high hopes for that man. Well, maybe one day I'll learn. Nobody survives the Black Room. Absolutely nobody.
All right. All right, one more time. One last time I'll look for you. I'll bring you the cheese and the pear. My legacy to you, Mr. Mouse. My last salute, Mr. Mouse. Morituri te salutanos. Well, why wouldn't you come to me? You used to come to me. Why did you stop? You knew I needed you. That's why. I needed you more than you needed me. And when that happens... After all, you had a way out of the Black Room, and I didn't. Where is that little hole of yours, Mr. Mouse? I found it. Where is that? I'd like to see the light once more before the darkness closes in. Where is the little mouse hole? Is this it? Is it? Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm much too weak. I can't get my eye to it. I forgot how hard it was. I can't. Oh. There it is. The beautiful light. That little sliver of light. The lovely light. Yes, I'm a little stronger now. I'll find you. Just keep talking, Mr. Mouse. I'll find you. I think I'm nearer. Just keep talking and I'll find you. You sound very loud. I must be close. Or is it because my hearing has become sharper? Does that happen? Does the hearing become sharper when there's nothing to hear? Ah, yes, you're very near now, very near. I think I can reach out and touch you. Ah, no! No! Oh, no, 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 that didn't happen. I won't believe it. It happened. I won't believe that I reached out my hand and you bit me. I won't believe that. Not that, no. But it's true. Yes, it's true. There's no end to it. There's no end, no end to the shocks and the suffering and the cruelty and the horror. No end to it. When you think you've borne it all, there's more and more and more.
How is he?
Not eating, not drinking, nothing.
Too bad.
I think it's time to go in.
You think he's alive?
I don't know. He could be, I guess.
Okay. Go on in.
I hate this part.
Oh, Mr. Kay.
Yes?
If he should be alive, by some chance, and if he should be even remotely in his right mind...
Oh, I doubt that, Mr. Z.
I know, but if he should be, take him upstairs and let him take a shower. Let him shave, give him some clean clothes, and bring him down here to me.
That's it. If he's alive and in his right mind.
Well, there's always a chance.
Why did you bite me? I meant you no harm. Why should you turn on me? Explain that to me. I need to know this one thing before I die. Here, look. Here's what I brought you. See? Three little pieces of cheese. And I'll put them down right here. You know what? Do you know what? I could kill you if I wanted to, but I don't want to. Now, for a little while, you kept me from going mad. And for that, I'm grateful. Yes. So, go on. Go on, bite me if you want to. I won't mind. Go ahead. You're not saying anything, Mr. Mouse. Are you still here? Or did you run away? Did you run to your mouse hole? Did you run through to the other side to live in the light, in the beautiful light? Or are you still here? Why don't you say something? What's this? Is that you? Is this your little furry body? Huh? Yes. Wait, no. No. What is that? Oh, no. Oh, that can't be. One, two, three, four. Why? Why, you're not Mr. Mouse at all. You're Mrs. Mouse. You're Mother Mouse. Five? How many? Oh. Yes, you were afraid I might hurt them. That's why you bit my hand. Yes, I understand. But now you trust me. Now you know. Oh, Mother Mouse. My beautiful little Mother Mouse. My dear friend. Do you know I'm crying again? And my tears are falling on you and on your children. What?
I came to get you.
What?
Come on. You can see your way to the door, can't you?
Yes.
Well, come on. Nothing like a shave and a shower, am I right? I think you've lost a little weight, a few pounds. Oh, here. I brought you some clean socks. I hope they're the right size, I have to guess. You care to weigh yourself? There's some scales over there.
Oh, thank you.
The rations were pretty thin, I know that. Now, how did you like the fruit?
What?
The fruit I left for you, and the cheese. Did you like it?
Very much.
I thought you would. Hey, don't put that shirt back on. I brought you a clean one. Here, I think it'll fit.
Thank you.
Now, give me your old one, and I'll throw it out.
Don't touch that shirt.
Huh?
Keep your hands off that shirt.
You want to save it? It's pretty dirty.
I want to save it.
I'll wash it for you.
No, leave it alone.
You want it the way it is?
Just the way it is.
If you say so. Well, you ready?
Yes.
Let's go visit Mr. Z. He's dying to talk to you.
You look rather well. Surprisingly well. Please, sit down. I'm glad to see you.
Are you really?
Yes, really. Very glad. You've no idea how glad. It's been, 26 days. That's remarkable. Truly remarkable. Tell me something, if you can. How did you do it? How does a man survive 26 days in the Black Room? Can you tell me? I really want to know. What does a man need to have to come out of there intact?
He needs to care for some living soul.
That's all he needs?
He needs to care a lot.
That's all? Just that?
That and a little light.
You're very tired, aren't you?
Yes.
It's been quite an ordeal.
Oh, yes.
We'd like to give you a complete physical examination before you go, if you don't mind.
I can go?
Also a psychiatric testing.
And then I can go?
One other thing.
Oh. And what's that?
After we've completed the examinations, would you be so kind, sir, as to address a few words to the membership? Not a long speech. We wouldn't expect that. But if you'd expand a little on what you've told me here...
Now, wait a moment. What membership?
Don't you know?
How am I supposed to know?
I thought you'd guess.
Is this a club? Some kind of a cult?
Not precisely a club. Certainly not a cult.
Well, then what is it? Who are the members?
People in trouble. Troubled people.
But that's practically everybody.
Quite so. Yes. Will you talk to them, sir? They'd be ever so grateful. Then you can go home.
Where do you live? Main Street? Lakeshore Drive? Mulberry Lane? Park Place? Lenox Avenue? Corner of 4th and Walnut? 3 miles out on Route 7? Come now. You know better than that. You may hang your hat anywhere at all, but you live in the black room of your own mind. I'll be back shortly.
If you take a look at the 1975 cars, you'll notice a European influence. And there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans. One being Buick's new Skylark SR, with its touring car interior and spirited little V6 engine. But don't think of the Skylark SR as a European tourer. We're proud of the fact that it's a Buick. You will be too.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
A variety of assistance is available to the blind. Rehabilitation and library services can be had in every part of the nation. Cash payments for the needy and training in skills and techniques. You can help. For information, contact your local affiliate of the National Federation of the Blind or write me, Kenneth Jernigan, President, National Federation of the Blind, 218 Randolph Hotel Building, Des Moines, Iowa, 50309.
Has our little story depressed you? Made you unhappy? I hope not. And if it has, I'm sorry. I'd like to leave you with a piece of gentle advice. As long as you must live in the black room at the center of yourself, get to know it. Know it well. It will frighten you, yes, but it will reward you, too, in ways you would hardly believe. Our cast included Larry Haynes, George Petrie, and Peter Collins. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
What is the whole contract?
That while a person owns this dark imp in the bottle, any request that concerns money, gold, or wealth, no matter how unreasonable, will be satisfied. And that to dispose of this creature and its spell, you must sell it for less than your original price.
Oh, here, $7.40.
$5 is enough.
Okay, cheap at nearly half the price.
Oh, think first, Barry, think. Remember, it will keep you rich as long as you live. But remember, too, if you do not sell it for less than you paid for it before you die, your soul will surely rot locked in hell for eternity.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our other storytelling podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, visit CrypticCountyPodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.